الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين إن يكن غنيا أو فقيرا فالله أولى بهما وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتقوا الظلم فإن الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاكرين والشاهدين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama, elders and brothers, if you look at an ayat of the Quran Majid, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains our goal and our purpose of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hadid, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ, that certainly we have sent our messengers with proof. وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ, and together with that, we've also sent them with divine scriptures. Torah, Injil, different divine scriptures of the previous Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we've also given you instruments to measure. And all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ, so that people may uphold justice. So just ponder over this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I've sent messengers. I've sent miracles and proofs. I've sent divine scriptures. I've even given you instruments to measure. All so that people may uphold justice. So this is such an important fundamental of our deen. That have we brought justice into our lives? And there are many types of justice. We all know divine justice, that is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whether that justice takes place in this world or the next world, it will definitely take place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا, that on that day we will certainly place the scales of justice and no one will be oppressed. So that is divine justice. Then we have social justice. How a person deals with one another. Does he fulfill the rights which are obligatory upon him? Or is he oppressing someone in the process? So that's social justice. Then we have legal justice, where a person will go to the courts and the qadi, the judge, will rule in his favor or against him. So that is legal justice. Then there'll be restorative justice, where someone has been wronged, and now that wrong needs to be corrected. Justice. Then you will find environmental justice, even in this our Sharia has covered it. That how we use water, how we use the resources which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Are we using it justly or are we using it unjustly? Simple example, when we are making wudu, are we wasting water or not? And like that, the different favors which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us in the environment, are we using it justly or unjustly? So this is just an introduction for us to understand the different types of justice in our Sharia which has been endorsed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then a person may ask that what exactly is this definition of justice? It's such a broad term. Does it mean that which the West has shown us? that justice is based on human intellect, that what humankind considers just or what humankind considers unjust. So if you look at what is justice according to Sharia, that all the beliefs, deeds, mannerisms, transactions and emotions of a person be weighed in the scale of equity and justice. No pan of the scale should be high or low. Meaning in every aspect of your life, you introspect. Am I being just or am I being unjust? Sufyan bin Uyayna, rahimahullah, the great muhaddith, he says that justice is the private and the public life of the person should be the same. How you behave in public, that is how your private life should be. Unfortunately, we have reached such a day and age where sometimes the person's public life is even worse than his private life in the manner in which he deals with people, etc. If you look at the Quran Majeed, how many a time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. That certainly Allah commands you, what? With justice. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another ayat of the Quran, اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Be just, because this is closer to taqwa. وَأَقْسِطُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Be just, certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who uphold justice. So from here you can see how many ayat of the Quran Majeed, the same point is driven home. The same point is being emphasized. So let us introspect that how much of this justice have we brought into our lives. In one ayat of the Quran Majeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ. That, O you who believe, O the believers, stand firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah. Meaning for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, adopt this justice. And then look at how beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us examples. Then he says, أَنفُسِكُمْ. Even if it means you will have to be just against yourself. Meaning by you upholding justice, you will be at a loss. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further goes on to say, Awil walidain, even if it means upholding justice and it is against your own parents. Closer relationship than one's parents. It is after the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the most emphasized right in our Sharia. That a person be kind to his parents, he be good to his parents. But in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if by you upholding justice, you even have to testify or go against your parents, then you will have to do it. Awil aqrabin, or it is your near and dear ones. We all know the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which a woman who had stolen in that time was brought before the court of Nabi of Allah. And then her family began to intercede on her behalf. And what was the response of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam? That even if it was Fatima bint Muhammad, the daughter of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she had stolen, then I would have her hands chopped off. Showing us this high level of justice which Sharia has made obligatory upon us. And not only that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on further to say, إِيَّكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا. That uphold justice even if it is against the rich. That sometimes because a person is wealthy, he is affluent, he has influence, then we feel shy to uphold justice. We feel shy to correct the wrong. But Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, even if he is wealthy, then you uphold justice. O faqiran, or even if he is poor, you will uphold justice. It doesn't mean now that a person is not wealthy, you feel sorry for him, never mind, let him get away with it. Unfortunately, we are living in such a time where the rich are spared because of their wealth and their affluence, and the poor are nailed because of their poverty. So are we upholding justice? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, فَلَا تَتَّبِعُ الْهَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُوا. Amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sums up the thinking of man, that do not follow your desires by being unjust. Meaning that now it's someone near and dear. It's someone with influence. It's someone close to us. So we feel like, let us sweep it under the carpet. Let justice not prevail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do not follow your desires with regard to this. فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most rightful that this is fulfilled. If you look at the time of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, the golden era of Islam, how he emphasized justice and how he upheld justice. That hours and hours can just be spoken on the justice of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. On one occasion, Umar radiallahu anhu stands before the crowd. أَمَرَكُمْ بِالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ He addresses them on the minbar. And he says that I command you with listening and obeying me. Immediately, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu stands up. And he says, I will not listen to one more word you say until you explain to us that how you are wearing two shawls which were received from the booty of war. What a day and age, what a time, where the common person is questioning the leader, the Amirul Mu'mineen, so openly. Immediately, Umar radiallahu anhu calls his son Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu. And he says, oh Abdullah, can you explain to this great Sahabi, Hazrat Salman Farsi, why I have two shawls from the booty of war? And then his son Abdullah says, that I received one, my father had received one, but I gifted my one to my father. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu says, now I am satisfied, you may continue with your lecture. This was the level of justice. Amirul Mu'mineen Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, on one occasion, he is sick. The doctor prescribes for him honey. But he did not even have honey in his own home. Yet there was honey in the Baytul Mal. Again he ascends the minbar. And he says, I am taking permission from you all who have a right in that Baytul Mal. Can Umar take some honey for his sickness as a medication? This was the level of justice. And therefore you find it is the golden era of Islam. Whether it was the rich, whether it was the poor, whether it was the affluent, whether it was those who don't have any influence, everyone felt equal. Everyone felt that they were safe. That I'm not worried that my money will get eaten up. I am not worried that my property will be lost. Because I know the highest level of justice will be implemented. There's a great Tabi'i of this ummah, known as Qadi Shureh. Famous incidents are mentioned regarding him. So on one occasion, Umar radiallahu anhu purchased a horse. And after purchasing this horse, he used this horse for a short while. And then he picked up that this horse has some defect. So Umar radiallahu anhu comes back to the seller. And he says to the seller that you've sold me a horse which has a defect. I wish to return the item. So the seller says, at the time of the sale, this horse did not have any defect. I refuse to sell the item. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, then let's go to court. Let's go to court and sort out this issue. So then who will be the judge to preside over Amirul Mu'mineen and this person? So Umar radiallahu anhu agrees that Qadi Shureh will judge between the two of them. The case is presented before Qadi Shureh. And after hearing both sides of the story, Qadi Shureh says that, Umar, you will have to either keep this horse or you will have to return it to the seller in the condition which you bought it. Meaning defect free. Look at the response of Umar. This is Amirul Mu'mineen. The Qadi of the time has ruled against him. His response is that as long as we have qubat like you, we have judges in our society like you, then the laws of justice will be upheld. Because of this judgment, I am now promoting you to the judge of Kufa. He was so happy, so elated with this judgment, even though it was going against him. Unfortunately, nowadays, we abuse the law of the land to suit ourselves. And in the Quran Majeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ Do not take the wealth of one and other falsely, unjustly. And look at them from all the ways of taking a person's wealth unjustly. It could have been stealing, gambling, interest, whatever it may be. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala singled out one action. وَتُدْلُوا بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ لِتَأْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا مِّنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ. And then you go to the judges so that you may take a portion of another person's wealth unjustly. So from all the ways of unlawfully taking the person's wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is singling out this action, that you'd abuse the legal system to try and gain the wealth of someone else. There's a lengthy hadith with regard to this, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a case is presented before me, and one person may present his case better than the next person. In our context, he has a better lawyer, legal team to defend himself. And because of that, the judge now rules in your favor. The words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have promised such a person a spark from the fire of Jahannam. Just look at the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you know you are wrong, yet you abuse the legal system because you want to take the wealth of someone else. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, I have promised a spark of Jahannam for such a person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So many a time when it suits us, then we'll use Sharia. But when it doesn't suit us, then we'll go to the law of the land. How many a time we find when it comes to inheritance, then we say, no, legally, this is my share. Or when it comes to some dispute, that legally this is my share. Yet you know in the court of Allah, you have wrongfully taken the wealth of someone else. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith has explained, الظُّلْمُ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That oppression will be a source of darkness for you on the day of Qiyamah. It will be a source of darkness for you on the day of Qiyamah. Again, coming back to the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, and this is great lesson, inspiration for us, that how we can bring justice into our lives. Umar radiallahu anhu writes to his governor in Yemen, Pharaoh's Daylami radiallahu anhu, and he writes to him saying that I see you have taken to luxury. You are eating white bread with honey. It was an expression to show that you have taken to luxury. What is this? This was Umar radiallahu anhu checking on all his governors, checking on all the people under him. So he writes to him and he summons him to Medina Munawwara. Pharaoh's Daylami sets out from Yemen. He comes to Medina Munawwara. And now he is about to present himself in the court of Umar radiallahu anhu. However, there is a queue, there is a line. And he is patiently waiting in that line. And whilst waiting in that line, a young Qurashi man comes in. And then he jumps the queue. In our terms, he jumps the queue. He goes ahead of Pharaoh's Daylami. So there's an altercation, an argument. And in that argument, Pharaoh's Daylami slaps this youngster on the nose. So now, this youngster goes in the court of Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu asks, what happened to you? He says, no, your governor from Yemen, Pharaoh's Daylami, has struck me on my nose. Now just look at the justice system of that time. He calls in the governor of Yemen. Next to this young Qurashi, he asks him what transpired. Pharaoh's Daylami explains to him the incident that he had jumped the queue, I struck him on his nose. Umar radiallahu anhu says, you didn't have to do that. There were other means of adopting justice. So it will be qisas. Like for like, you slapped him, he will have to slap you back. So Pharaoh's Daylami says, really, I'm in Amirul Mu'mineen, I am the governor of Yemen, I'm a high ranking person, and now this youngster will have to slap me. Umar radiallahu anhu says, there is no way out. But just look at the beauty, look at the heart which they had. Immediately, this great Sahabi, Hazrat Pharaoh's Daylami radiallahu anhu, he goes on his knees. And he says to the youngster, now you strike me back. وَإِنْ عَاقَبَتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُقِبَتُمْ بِهِ. That when you are taking revenge, when you are taking back your right, then you give according to what has been given to you. So just before this youngster is about to slap Pharaoh's Daylami, Umar radiallahu anhu says to the youngster, I just want to say to you a few words. That on the eve of the passing away of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had received revelation that Aswad Anasi, who was the imposter, who was a false prophet, has been killed. And then he used the words, قَتَلَهُ عَبْدُ الصَّالِحِ. that a pious slave of this ummah killed him. Pharaoh's Daylami. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has endorsed the sahabi. He got the title of a pious man, a pious slave. So I just want to inform you, this is his rank. When this youngster hears that, immediately he retracts. He says, I have forgiven Pharaoh's Daylami. Pharaoh then turns to Umar radiallahu anhu. O Amirul Mu'mineen, do you think I will be absolved in the court of Allah by this youngster forgiving me? Umar radiallahu anhu says, yes, certainly. In this world you have sorted out your affairs. Your hukukul ibad is in order. Definitely you will be absolved in the court of Allah. Pharaoh's Daylami then says, I make you witness, Umar radiallahu anhu, that my horse, my sword, and 30,000 dirhams of my wealth I have gifted to this youngster. Umar radiallahu anhu marvels, he smiles, he says to this youngster, that what a deal you struck. You forgave him and made your akhirat. And by you forgiving him, he has also made your dunya. This was that level. So one is justice, but they went over and above justice as well. Ihsan. How can I do good to a person? Hazrat Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi, Alimiya Rahimahullah, would always say, you rather be the oppressed than the oppressor. You rather be the oppressed than the oppressor. Because you are in the safe zone if you are oppressed. Meaning you will have something to claim in the next world. But if you are the oppressor, then not only will you have to give over your amal, there is a possibility that you will even end up in the fire of Jahannam. And that is backed up by a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Manil Muflis, that who is a bankrupt person? Sahaba radiallahu anhu responded that a bankrupt person is that person who has no wealth. That is a bankrupt person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. The bankrupt person is that person who has done a lot of amal. But shatama hadha wa daraba hadha. But he swore a person. He's hit a person. He's taken the right of another person. And then on the day of Qiyamah, all those claimants will lay their claim against him. And first all his good a'mal will be transferred over to them. And then when he has no good a'mal left, then the sins of the claimants will be put onto him. Until such a stage will come where this person's scale of bad deeds will now outweigh his good deeds. And he will be flung into the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So beloved brothers, this is the message today. Then let us try and bring this level of justice into our lives. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised great rewards for those who adopt justice. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in one hadith, إِنَّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ مَنَابِرَ مِنْ نُورٍ عَنْ يَمِينِ الرَّحْمَانِ, that the just ones will be on members, they will be on elevated platforms of light on the side of Rahman, on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains who are these just people. Alladhina ya'diluna fi hukmihim. They are just when passing judgment. Wa ahlihim. And they are just with their families. This is something many a time we overlook. We think that justice is only what is with regard to our monetary dealings. Or what is with regard to what happens in the legal system, fulfilling the rights of our family members? Are we fulfilling the rights of our wives, of our children, of our parents? Or are we behaving with them unjustly? Just look at the incident of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. His daughter Aisha radiallahu anha, the incident is very lengthy of how she was slandered. And one of the people who were involved in the slander of Aisha Siddiqa Ummahatul Mu'mineen, one of them was the cousin of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was a Badri Sahabi, he had fell into this wrong where he slandered Aisha radiallahu anha. Yet he was fully financially supported by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So after the incident of the slander and his punishment was meted out, obviously he's a Jannati, he was given the glad tidings of Jannah, a Badri Sahabi. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took a qasam that I will not financially support this cousin of mine any longer because he had slandered my daughter. And then Islah, his reformation is made in the Quran Majeed, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the ayat that you will still have to support them even if they are your close family members. Just look at that. In the Quran Majeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. Do not let your enmity and your hatred for your enemy lead you to injustice. That because this person did this to me, then I will go all out against him. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِعْدِلُوا. Be just even when it is with regard to your enemy. So coming back to this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we'll conclude on this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, who are these just people who will be promised high positions on the day of Qiyamah next to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Alladhina ya'diluna fi hukmihim. Those who are just in their judgments. Wa ahlihim. They are just with their families. Wa ma walu. And all that they do. Meaning every aspect of their life, they measure it. Is this action on the scale of justice or is this action on the scale of injustice? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from these special people who have been promised this great reward in the akhirat. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from all forms of injustice and oppression. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.